Hey. It is me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to heal my emotional pain and to clear the muddy waters in my marriage. And then I took that artwork and used it as inspiration to create products that I've put on journals and coloring books and sneakers and bomber jackets and the postcards. When I decree and declare that I am no longer producing any power of my own, I am God resilient. God bless you. How are you on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day? Give me 1 second as I set up YouTube. It is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be obedient unto God, to do what the Lord has wanted us to do. Amen. It is so beautiful to connect with you each and every morning. If you are blessed, amen, by if you have been blessed by these lives, amen, I pray that you share them with others. Amen. Let people know that we are on. If you are a podcaster and you love listening to podcasts, hey, let people know that you have been blessed by this. Amen. We are still on the topic of kingdom value and relationship dynamics. Honey, it is just getting juicier and juicier. Amen, amen, amen. So we are going to do what we came to do. Hallelujah. All right. I think we're up. Yes, we're going to do what we came to do, which is pray, process the information from today's devotional, and pursue God's word. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. Father God, move by your power and move by your might. Father God, we need you. Father God, we love you. Father God, we seek you. Father God, it is in you that we live and move and have our being. Oh, Father God, everything that we need this day, will you add it unto us, Lord God? Help us to not take thought about tomorrow. Help us to give thanks in all things, for that is your will. Help us to cast our cares upon you, because you care for us. Help us, Lord God. You said obedience is better than sacrifice. You said the willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. And I decree and declare that all of those who are willing and obedient to love you, to serve you, to give you glory, to give you thanks, to share your word, that they shall eat the good of the land. Father God, we ask that you will lead us, guide us, teach us, and show us something in your word that we've never seen before. Let there be light. Open up our eyes to understanding. Touch our hearts and transform us by renewing our minds. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Who is in the house this morning? Anyway, oh, God bless you, Terry. It is so wonderful to see you this morning. God bless you, Rhonda. And my husband, Dr. William Webb IV. It is wonderful to see you this morning. So, on topic, off topic, amen. I have been trying to read this book for a couple of months. Actually, since September, I had a couple of books on my list that I was supposed to read while I was in recovery. But I keep picking it up and putting it down. So I picked it up last night for my own personal time of reading and self-development. It is the 4 essential skills of effective communication in love, life, work, and anywhere else. And it is by Bento Leal. But what is very profound about this book is that it talks about the obvious communication, but it's a very different perspective when this guy takes a very different perspective regarding communication. And I think it is so fitting with the topic of kingdom value and spiritual capital. Amen. So he talks about he decided, this gentleman, Bento C. Leo the Third. Okay. On page 24 in his book, he stated, I decided to call the skill of developing effective communication, mindfully valuing oneself and others. Mindfully valuing oneself and others, empathic awareness skill. And the reason why he has coined his piece of the pie, amen, empathic awareness skill, because he says empathy is putting yourself in the other person's shoes, their point of view, their perspective, and trying to feel what they are feeling. That is his definition or his words of empathy. He also states that the reason why he's coined his way of teaching effective communication as empathic awareness skill is because being fully aware or being mindfully aware that each person has unique, special value. Yes, this is what it says. Each person has unique, special value. And then lastly, he says, it is a skill. The reason why he coins his perspective of effective communication as empathic awareness skill is because it is a skill. It is a learned and practiced behavior that's developed over time. What is he saying? He is saying to be empathetic. It is a learned skill. We must practice empathy, the ability to put ourselves in another person's shoes, the ability to see things from someone else's viewpoint, understand someone else's perspective, and to try to feel what they feel. That takes practice over a period of time. And then to be mindfully aware that each person is unique and has special value, that is a learned and practiced skill. And that is what we have been doing with this whole topic of kingdom value and spiritual capital. We are first seeing for ourselves that we have kingdom value. And it is something that we must remind ourselves of every single day. That we have value. Irrespective of if other people see our value. If other people understand our value, if other people get our value, that doesn't matter. We have to first know within ourselves that we have kingdom value, that we are loved by God, that we are chosen vessels, that we are a peculiar people. Amen. That we are royal priesthood. Amen. We have a tendency to forget that because one, we know ourselves. We hear our thoughts. We know our belief systems. We know our sins. We know our struggles. We know our flesh. We know our idiosyncrasies and we know our propensities. We know ourselves. So we have a hard time remembering and keeping it at the forefront of our mind that we are chosen and that we are loved and that we are of a royal priesthood. Amen. We forget that. But then we also see how other people interact with us. And people are innumerable. We talked about the true Israelite becoming weary, or the true Philistine becoming weary of the true Israelite. We compared that to white people and black people. We compared that to male and female. Every aspect of difference, any and every way you are different from someone else, there is the possibility of tolerating that difference. There is a possibility of becoming weary of that difference if we don't learn tolerance. And that we can view tolerance from a positive perspective. A lot of times we put a negative connotation to the word tolerance. But even if you are married and in love with someone and have a God-ordained marriage, there is something about your spouse that you are tolerating. You love your children, your grandchildren, but it is something about them as a human being that is different from you that you must tolerate. And that is okay. Because if we don't learn to tolerate, then we are going to be lone rangers. We might as well build our teeny house in the woods and learn how to, you know, forage. Amen. Forage. I think it's called forage. Learn how to forage. Figure out what you can eat in the woods and what you can't eat in the woods. What water you can drink. How to filter the water. Like, you might as well just go out and be by yourself, because you are going to have to tolerate something with each and every human being on this planet, because there is something about them that is completely different from you. You could be two black people, two women born in the same family by the same parents, and you are two completely different people, and you got to tolerate them. Amen. But what is so very interesting is that this gentleman, Mr. Bento C. Leal, says that if we want to have effective communication with one another, then we must understand that each person is unique, special, and valuable. A lie. To you not, if you can see it right here, each person is unique, special, and valuable. Empathic awareness skill. Okay, each person is unique, special, and valuable. It is written right here. Now, how do you engage people who are different? People who you don't like. People who are irking. People who are irritating. People who are selfish. People who are traumatized. People who are just downright mean and nasty or rude. People who are racist. People who are pompous and prideful and airy. People who, come on now, we can go down the list of the different things about people that we don't like. And we have to learn and practice how to see these people as unique, special, and valuable. How do you do that consistently on a regular basis? There is a way to do it. And this gentleman in this book teaches us how to do that. And I am so glad that I got to that point in the book, because it took me months to get to that point, because I kept picking it up and putting it down, because now I am more motivated to read the book, because I feel like it is on topic. Not only is it on topic of kingdom value and spiritual capital, it is on topic with my check-in cards and being able to see someone. We will be writing individuals who are incarcerated. We are starting that again this month. And it's no longer called Sister to Sister. It is called check-ins. We are just sending monthly check-ins to individuals who are incarcerated. We want to check in on them. We want to see that they're okay. We want to ask them if they're good. We want to, you know, let them know, hey, I see you. You're not by yourself. I don't have to know you. I don't have to know your story. I don't have to know your situation. But you are a unique, special, and valuable human being. And I want to communicate that to you. So this is so timely for me, particularly in ministry, in business, and in my personal life. Amen. Which is actually what the subtitle of his book is, In Love, Life, and Work. Amen. So if you are interested in learning more about the four essential keys of effective communication, I recommend this book so that you can read it for yourself. So with us having kingdom value, we have to first know that we are unique, special, and valuable. And when you know that you are unique, special, and have kingdom value and spiritual capital to bring to the table, that's one skill. And then practicing that other people are special, unique, and valuable is another skill that you must learn. And then put it into practice so that you can effectively communicate with those in your life. Amen. So I pray that that brought you some understanding. And you know I said that for a reason, because we're going to be referring back to that point as we continue with our daily devotional. Amen. So now let's get into Judges chapter 15. Amen. And we're going to start at verse 1 again. And before I even do a recap, let's just read God's word. You guys know that I read in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Amen. So let's start chapter 15, verse 1 in the book of Judges. Later on, during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a gift and visited his wife. "I want to go to my wife in her room," he said, but her father would not let him enter. "I was sure you hated her," her father said, "so I gave her to one of the men who accompanied you. Isn't her younger sister more beautiful than she? Why not take her instead?" Samson said to them, "This time I will be blameless when I harm the Philistines." So I want to stop right there. I know we went a little further on yesterday, but it's a few points that I do not want us to miss in this passage of scripture. Amen. Give me 1 second. And we see here that, well, let me say this, because it's the points that I missed yesterday, and I'm going to slow down, because you know my thoughts go faster sometimes than what comes out of my mouth. Oh, that's beautiful. So Terry says, that's absolutely right. Thank you, Laura. My husband, William, went before, says amen. And then Terry says, I'm going to use that as one of my affirmations. I am unique, special, and have kingdom value. I know that's right. I was thinking the same exact thing. I need to say this to myself every day. And then my husband says, even the way you are interpreting these few chapters in Judges is from a empathetic perspective. We are seeing it from the Philistines' point of view. Oh my God, you stole my thunder. But I thank you that you are like, you understand why I saw what I saw when I picked up the book again. And I'm like, this is so fitting, because we are seeing things from an empathetic perspective. I am seeing this story from every point of view, and it is blowing my mind. Because I have to remind myself that God is up to something. I have to remind myself that God has a plan here, and he is using Samson for his glory. He is using Samson. And let me tell you what I read in the commentary last night. And I love the way they put it in the commentary. there is a very personal injury here. But they're talking about the personal injury from Samson's point of view. Samson suffered a very personal injury. According to the commentary, the first personal injury that Samson suffered is the betrayal of his wife. Now, y'all know I'm struggling. Because, whoo. And let me say this. I prayed to the Lord. And I said, God, I have to deliver this word. I cannot keep showing up when I minister. I gotta bring the unadulterated word to your people and not bring me to the table. And I said, God, please let me just deliver this word. And the one thing I said to the Lord, I said, who injured who first? Who offended who first? God, I know that you had a plan. I know that you were setting up a confrontation. Like, I know it. I get it. I read it. You're sovereign. I know that Samson was the chosen one. I know that Samson was the anointed one. But who started this? Who threw the first punch? Why does Samson have a personal injury? Why is Samson getting a pass? I'm sorry. Because it just reminded me of something. Even though my husband and I went through it, I was the one who really went through it, because I was the one that was impacted. And I consider the person my friend. And I'm like, that person, and I'm saying this to the Lord, because now I done took, it ain't even about Samson no more. I have been so empathetic with the people in this historical account that, honey, I done put myself all the way in the story. I done put myself in it. And now I can't remove myself from it, because I'm like, God, who threw the first punch? I don't care that Samson had an assignment. I don't care that Samson was called. Samson started this whole mess. He was the person who, he was the offender. He was the first offender with this riddle. So now he talking about in chapter 15, verse 3, this time I will not be blameless. Dude, you was blameless the first time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. How in the world Samson think that he wasn't blameless? Dog, you started it with this riddle. You challenged these people with this riddle. You get her. Now the 30 men, yes, that was their choice to go to the wife and threaten the wife. But dog, we know how people operate. We know they're going to go to the weaker vessel. We know that they're going to go to the one that harms you. You know the first people they're going to go to is your mama, your wife, and your children. These were not Israelites. These were the uncircumcised Philistines. What do you think they were going to do if you're in their land and you challenge them with a riddle? So now I'm having a real hard time here. Like that Samson's wife betrayed him. Dog, you started this. And how come Samson gets a pass? And your wife came to you crying. And the commentary is on Samson's side. I know he's the chosen vessel. Y'all, I'm struggling. Pray for me. Like, I'm really having a difficult time with this. Dog, you started it. You threw the first punch. You were the offender. You were wrong. And these people are going off based off of what you did. If you never said this riddle, they wouldn't have never went to the wife, the weaker vessel, your point of weakness, threatening her, her mama, and her father. If you would have been empathetic towards her when she was crying. But no, what did you say? You was like, I ain't even tell my parents the answer to the riddle. Why would I tell you? This chick crying. This chick people just was threatened. Where is your empathy, Samson? Didn't you read the Ten Commandments? I'm sorry. The whole Mosaic Law. So nothing in the Mosaic Law talked about you crying and your wife crying. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time with this text, y'all. Because when I tell you I'm in it and I see it, whoo, okay, and I am not on Samson's side here. I know he's God's chosen. I know he's God's boy. I understand that. I know God got a plan. I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying. And I am like, thank you. My husband says the commentary is coming from one perspective only. And Terry says, it's okay. We're free here. It's all good. Y'all. So then the commentary. So if you go back to chapter 14, verses 19 through 20, when the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him and he went down to Ashkelon and killed the 30 men, and then he stripped them and gave them their clothes. So what the commentary is stated is like, he was offended because he knew that his wife gave them the answer to the riddle. You know what I mean? Thank y'all so much. Terry says his ways are not ours. And Rhonda says, please don't apologize. We need to hear this. So it's like so the commentary is saying that Samson had a personal injury because his wife betrayed him by telling the 30 men the answer to the riddle. How did that woman betray him? I don't agree with that. So my husband says God knew that this would cause an injury, a personal emotional injury, because he knew it was not fair. This was God presenting an opportunity for confrontation. It's like, I know that. Oh, I know it. And the commentary says that God used this personal injury for a public display, a public opportunity to judge the Philistines. So what the commentary is trying to explain to us, that God wanted to judge the Philistines and their modus of operation, or their modi of operation. Amen. And so he's using this very personal injury. You know, anytime it got to do with marriage, your parents, or your children, amen, it is very personal. So he is using this very personal injury of what they coin as betrayal of Samson's wife, of telling the 30 Philistine men the answer to the riddle. And that because Samson felt this hurt, this pain, this betrayal, he went down to kill the 30 men of Ashkelon. And the commentary says that because of the agreement, because of the social, civility, that's the, because when you have two families that marry, it's like a social contract. Even if you're from two different cultures, right? Once you decide to get married, it forms this social contract that I'm not going to mess with you and you not going to mess with me. I'm not going to mess with your people. You not going to mess with my people, because two of our people, your son, your daughter, have decided to be together. So that brings us together. So we need to be civil, right? Regardless of our faith, regardless of our religion, regardless of our culture, we have decided to be civil because of this marriage, right? And so when Samson felt the betrayal, instead of going off on the people in Timnah, right, he went down to Ashkelon, because he's like, I can't kill y'all. I can't take this out on y'all, because we have this social contract. We are civil. Like, we're people now. But I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm hurt, and I'm betrayed because I married this woman and she told y'all the answer to the riddle. Now, we know that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and that enabled him to go down and to kill the 30 men, because God is presenting an opportunity for confrontation. I know that. But I'm like, how do you get a pass? Like, dog, how do you get a pass? You have no responsibility in here whatsoever. You weren't dead wrong at all. And because your little feelings hurt, you get to go down. I know, y'all. I know. God, I'm sorry, God. I'm trying here, Jesus. I can't, like, this, like, I'm seeing this. And I'm just like, I'm seeing it. And so I'm just like, you get to be mad. And part of me, I'm like, I don't get to be mad and go off. Because when I'm mad and I go off, I get judged. And I get talked about like a dog. Like we said yesterday. You see my reactions, but you don't want to discuss my triggers. So I'm just like, how do you get a pass? You get to go and be hurt with your little feelings because you was betrayed, and you get to go and kill 30 men. But then if you go to chapter 15, verse 3, it says, and Samson said to them, this time I will be blameless when I harm the Philistines. So I'm like, okay, hold on. Maybe, I don't know, y'all, I don't know. But maybe he taking a little bit of responsibility that the first time he maybe had something to do with it. Maybe. Because he says, this time I will be blameless. So maybe, I don't know, because the word doesn't say, and I'm not Hebrew and I don't speak Hebrew. Amen. But maybe my husband says he knew that he was dead wrong the first time. I don't know. Maybe he knew that he had some responsibility the first time around. Even though we know it was the Spirit of the living God that came upon him powerfully, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 men, stripped them of their clothing, and gave their clothes to the ones who explained the riddle. And in a rage, Samson returned to his father's house, and his wife was given to one of the men who had accompanied him. So now there's a double injury here. So if we're looking at it from Samson's perspective, his wife betrayed him by telling the men the riddle. Then he comes back from Ashkelon after killing the 30 men, and his wife was given to someone else. So now there's a man that accompanied him, his best man of his wedding, his friend. So that's the second injury, personal injury, that God is going to use for public judgment. Oh my God. Amen. So then when you get into chapter 15, there's another injury, personal injury later on. So now 2 or 3 months have passed. So dude, that is mad. He not as much in his feelings as he was before. Maybe he's not as hurt, not as offended. So 2 to 3 months later on, during the harvest, the wheat harvest, which we know is in our mid-May to mid-June, he takes a young goat and he wants to go and visit his wife. He wants that makeup. Okay, let me not go there. Because y'all know, grown folk, y'all know what I was getting ready to say. He wants to make up, okay? And then we have this additional injury. The father will not let him in to see his wife. Now, we can understand that injury, right? And then there's another injury. I was sure you hated her, so I gave her to one of the men who accompanied you. So then you're being told in your face, I gave your wife to the best man of your wedding. But it's like, so I'm back now. So whatever y'all arranged. And then the commentary says that the way it's worded and the way this interaction is flowing, it means that the wife was not officially married to this man. She was just betrothed to him, or betrothed, excuse me. And we know that betrothed means engaged. It was a verbal promise. They had not yet consummated the marriage or went through whatever their wedding ceremonial consist of in the Philistine culture and community. It was just like, oh yeah, this is going to go down. This is going to happen. So now if they were just betrothed or engaged and it had not officially happened because she was still in her father's house. So if she was still in her father's house and it was just a verbal promise, then why couldn't they reverse what was just a verbal promise and go ahead and give Samson back his wife because he was back now? So now this is another injury. This is another personal injury that Samson has. Amen. So now, let's see, because y'all talking back to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. So Terry says, we don't have to totally understand. We just trust. Only God has all the pieces to the puzzle. We accept facts. That doesn't mean we agree. God bless you. Thank you, Terry, for being our commentator, putting Judges chapter 14 and 15 in the comments. We says, yes, the process. Then my husband, William Webb IV, says, then the father offered the younger sister, which goes against Leviticus law. You better preach, man of God. In Leviticus 18:18, neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the one in her lifetime. More ammunition to judge. Oh my God, you still in my thunder, man of God. But thank you that we are one and we are in the same vein, because here I am, I'm back. So even if you think I got goals, even if you think I rolled out and I said deuces, I'm back now. We are still legally married. So go ahead and give me back my wife and let me go into my wife. The father does not allow that. Injury on top of injury on top of injury. Emotional and psychological and social, because now I got this public embarrassment. But these are Philistines. These are not Israelites. They don't know anything about the Mosaic law. They don't know anything about the Ten Commandments. Remember, I told you, Israel is not only a faith or religion. It is not only a culture. It is not only a race. But it's a nation. It is a nation, a religion / faith, a culture, and a race in one. They're with the uncircumcised Philistines. They don't know anything about this. They don't know anything about the Levitical law, that you not shall not take your wife's sister. So now there's this personal injury. You know what I mean? Of betrayal in the marriage with the wife by like telling the riddle. Then you give my wife to somebody else, the best man. So now I'm betrayed because this dude who I thought was my friend, who the best man of my wedding, you done gave my wife to him. So I come back a couple of months later. I want to go into my wife. You don't let me in. And then you tell me to my face, oh, she engaged to somebody else. How you gonna promise her to somebody else? She's still my wife. We did not go through the process of divorce, even though I've been gone for 2 or 3 months. That doesn't matter. We still didn't go through the process of divorce. And you're not gonna let me in. And now that I'm back, y'all need to reverse and cancel whatever y'all had planned, because I'm back now. I done stepped back on the scene. Come on, y'all, talk to me. And then you gonna disrespect my God and go against my law that was set by God and the leader of the community, Moses, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. You are going to go against what he told us religiously and socially and conjugally. religiously, socially, and conjugally, you are going to go against what I believe by offering me my wife's sister just because she younger and look better? Think about it. He says, isn't her younger sister more beautiful than she? Why not take her instead? What? Are y'all seeing this? Are y'all getting this? God is using. I'm telling you, I am so grateful unto the Lord that He is leading us. And I am grateful unto my spiritual mother. Because that one word, that one prophetic word that she spoke over my life recently, the most recent prophetic word, led me to search about kingdom value. Because she told me, my God, that I had kingdom value. And I had to research and seek God about what kingdom value is. And that has put me on this journey of studying, and I am sharing it, and I am getting so much meat and potatoes and bread, hallelujah, out of this. Thank you. Terry says, teach us. And my husband, William Webb, says, God was playing this whole thing like an instrument. He playing it like a fiddle, playing it like a fiddle, okay? Playing the flute. My God, can God use your personal injury for a public display of judgment? Let's see law and calmly think about that. Can God use your personal injury, your personal situation to do something at a public national platform? Let's not take our hurt and pain for granted, because all things work for the good who loves the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Amen. God can turn your ashes into beauty. We are won over, my God, on the account of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you have a word that can speak to the nations where people are won over? Do you have a personal injury that God healed, that He can use, my God, to change a nation, to bring judgment to a people? Do you have a personal injury that God can use for His glory? Hey, don't count yourself out. Don't take nothing you experience for granted. You have kingdom value. What you went through has kingdom value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Child. That's all that we have for today. I pray that you got something out of the word of God. And that God will continue to bless you. He will continue to keep you. Amen. And that God will continue to shine His face upon you and to give you peace. That God will go before you with His pillar of His cloud by day and His pillar of fire by night. My God. Rhonda says, my understanding has opened up. My God. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get an understanding. Hallelujah. God bless you, Elder Zeddy on YouTube Live. She says, teach. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank y'all. I'm discerning just the glory of the Lord. The testimony. Every morning when I introduce myself, I give my testimony. Every morning, I give my testimony. Greetings, my name is Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to heal my emotional pain and to clear the muddied waters in my marriage. And I took that artwork and I used it as inspiration to create products. And I no longer say that I produce power from my pain, because I have no power of my own. I denounce all human resiliency, and I decree and declare that I am God resilient, because if it was not for the Lord on my side, where would I be? My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A personal injury. Hallelujah. For public display. We are God resilient. God bless you, cuz. It's wonderful to see you this morning. You are God resilient. I gotta go, y'all. I gotta go. I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And we're gonna be right back here tomorrow. Mwah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.